So, we have, hopefully you were able to get the flyer. If not, we've tried to post it, Sister Debbie said, everywhere. It's in our social media as well. But beginning this Wednesday, this week, we want to take time to pray together. So you are able to, you have two options. You can join us by video, as the flyer says. I'm using Zoom as the platform to do this. So you can log in using that user code and the password there. Or if you're like, yeah, I don't want to do the camera thing, there's a phone number. So just dial in at 7 o'clock. We will be on. And Brother Ivan was like, okay, now I don't know how long I can stay. So it's okay. It doesn't matter how long you can be with us. If it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes. We just want to take the time to pray as a body of believers. So join us. Bring your prayer request. It could be for your neighbor. It could be coworker. Whatever's on your heart. We're going to take the time to lift one another up, lift our nation up, and the world around us in prayer. All right? So this Wednesday. And then once we start this coming Wednesday, we'll just do it every single Wednesday after that moving forward. So you'll know, 7 o'clock, I can either log into Zoom and see people, or I can call in and people will pray with me. All right? Thank you. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it.
Me too. I'm excited. Also, our ladies' retreat is coming up September 17th through the 19th, and there's flyers back there if you're interested. It's $95. It's at Camp White Branch. So we will leave on Friday. I don't know what time, but sometime Friday. And they start Friday evening and then Saturday and Sunday. And we come from Sunday night. So kind of exciting. It's fun to do. I have always grown a lot. And I love Camp White Branch. Some people think it's too rustic, but I think it's perfect. I love our little cabins with the bunk beds that I don't climb on the top anymore. But it's fun. It is very fun. Okay, and I think other than that, we have The Chosen. So we're going to start it back again on September 12th. We're going to do episodes 3 and 4. That's a Sunday. And we will do a potluck. So we'll have potluck, and then we'll watch the first chapters 3 and 4, episodes 3 and 4. So it's good to get back into it.
And is that essentially right after church?
Yeah, that would be right after church. So come and see it. It'll be a lot of fun. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are missing a lot of people here today, Lord, and I just lift each one up to you, Lord. We love them and we miss them, and we're going to be praying that they are not ill and that they will be back. Father God, just be with us as we go through this service. Open our hearts and our minds. Just let us just turn everything off and just focus on you. Let us just absorb the words of the songs and also Pastor Teresa's message that she has for us. And for those that are going to be watching it on video, I just lift them up to you also, because I know that you are going to bless them also. Father God, we just love and praise you, and we just give you all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We'll stand and go to the call to worship. And we're in Zephaniah today, chapter 3, verse 17. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Oh, isn't that just a reassuring verse that we can just hold on to? Thank you. All right. Well, that's awesome. That's a really good song. All right. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will
faithfulness to our generation. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I must sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing.
So this is holy, holy, holy. And I am in a Bible study on Friday nights, and we're studying Revelation, which has been, you know, awesome. I don't understand a lot of Revelation. However, today's verse out of Holy, Holy, Holy is, each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So we can rest assured no matter what, even if the dragon monsters come, we have the Lord and we can rest assured in that. So let's go to holy, holy, holy.
Trust in Jesus.
Oh, there's a second verse. You better sing it then.
We are so blessed by the things you have done, the victories we've won, and what you brought us through. We are so feed us.
Good morning, church. God bless you. Let's take our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. Father, Lord, thank you so much for the truly multitude of blessings you have given us. Lord, we don't even pause to take on a perspective of this whole world, but we truly are blessed. Financially, friend-wise, jobs, you've given us much more security here than many places else in this world. So we say thank you and accept the responsibility of giving back from what you've given. Amen. My helper. I got my prayer helper. Are you my prayer helper? I'm so glad. And so we will open up the floor here. Let's share with each other our blessings and our praises and our needs with each other's hearts. Who would like to start? Go, Judy. Continued prayer for Bobby Kendall and her shoulder injury. She broke her shoulder, and she sees a doctor this week, finally. She's been home on pain meds for a couple weeks. I've text messaged Gary, her son, a few times, and Gary just is hoping that the doctor will say, you need some surgery fast, because Bobby's in a lot of pain. And I still called Bobby a couple times, and I know Bobby, how does she do it? I love her heart. The whole conversation was about praising Jesus, and I know every word had pain behind it. And our sister loves the Lord, and I have absolutely no doubt of that from that conversation. So prayer for Bobby that she can get a quick surgery and get this dealt with. Anybody else have a praise? Oh. Prayer for Marie Hundley, having headaches and some knots on her head. And I forgot to lift up that praise for Josh Pank, because I've been praying for the kids. So he's getting some help, he's making some right choices, and God's going to free him from addiction. God's going to free him for something so much bigger. And I can't wait to see seeds planted and blossom. Anybody else? So Josh wants to lift up his family members, brothers and sisters, and their walk. And he wants to lift up, most importantly, his mom, Betty, who is also recovering from shoulder surgery. Our congregation has been shouldering a lot of pain, pun intended, but God is dealing one at a time and helping. And Betty has had her surgery. Ted has had his. We need to pray for Bobby to get hers. And he won't give us more than we can bear. I know that. And that's with his help. So prayer that all of the people affected can continue to rely on God, like I know Bobby certainly is from that phone call. Yeah. And then prayer for Ted and his stomach concerns. He's not being able to eat much. And he's pretty skinny. Lord needs to give some wisdom to his gastro doctors to help him figure out what's going on with his stomach. He needs to be able to eat to recover from his accident. And of course, again, lifting up Betty Culver. Make sure that you pray for her. She started physical therapy with her shoulder injury this week. And that will be very helpful for her. Josh, did you say it was a reverse shoulder? First time I ever heard about that. Debbie Del Mar told me about that. Yeah, the reverse. Yep. Anybody else have something they want to share? Sarah. Makes his brain fall on the just and the unjust, amen. And we just need it to fall. So that was Sarah lifting up my uncle-in-law, my aunt-in-law, their properties. And there was somebody else lifting up a family member down there. Was it you, Linda? Sherry Becknorris, that's what it was. It was lifting in the group meet prayer chat. Called by my name, will humble themselves and turn their face toward God. He will heal their land, yeah? Yeah. We need to continue praying for our national leaders. I know that's something that's big on my heart. State leaders, local leaders, all leaders. Holy Spirit, just jump into all their hearts. And change their minds. Carolyn. Say scared, just nervous for what it's going to be. I have a new student this year. I'll share a prayer request of mine on that. I have a new student this year that is so high needs that I've never had to actually be involved with using a lift to lift a student from a chair to the toilet or to a changing table and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be new for me, and I really just pray that I can learn all that quickly and accurately and be of best service to that student. Of course, I'll have a couple of instructional aids with me each time we do it, but I just want to make sure that student's needs are met such a level that she can just feel comfortable with all of that and just learn and not be worried about the basics with us in the post-high program. Dory. Oh, Dovey, I'm sorry. I keep doing that. Like Linda and her sister. I'm sorry. Dovey. This is your brother Larry, right? So we're talking about your niece. Okay. So prayer for Dovey's brother Larry, who had his granddaughter taken away by her mom unexpectedly. So mom's lifestyle is unstable, to say the least. Okay, all right. And Larry has good stability. Okay. So prayer for that. Anybody else have something you'd like to share or a phrase to share? Ashton's pointing out, I think, a little sister there. A cousin, okay. A little cousin. Does she have something she wants to share? Don't have to, but you're always welcome. She has nothing what? Yes. Cousins are the bomb, trust me. I grew up with a bunch of good ones. Anybody else? Brothers and I, and my wife and my children, and my parents all got together to celebrate birthdays. I'm the outlier in my family. All three of my brothers have their birthdays within 3 weeks, and then there's me. So. Okay. Let's go before our Lord and Savior together as one body, one mind, one family. Father, Lord, you've heard many of the needs. Lord, I also lift up Bill and Donna with their housing situation that we didn't mention here yet. We don't know, Lord, how that'll all pan out, but we know that we trust you to provide a place for them and their family. Lord, thank you for us just being able to lay those burdens upon you. Lord, that one's huge, not knowing where you're going to live. And Lord, we ask for many medical and health needs expressed here today, Lord, for shoulders that need to be mended, for shoulders that are mending, for hearts and minds that go along with them, Lord, for mental health issues as well that are dealing with addiction. We lift people up that are suffering that, Lord, and specifically Josh, who's so close to my heart. Lord, we pray for his freedom. We pray out of addiction. Right now, as one church body right here, as one mind and one heart, we pray him out of addiction and into your glorious light. Holy Spirit, continue to nudge and touch and reach into his heart and bring your light and bring your freedom, true freedom in you. Lord, for wildfires that seem wildly out of control, Lord, we know that you are the king over the entire creation. You made it, and we know that as we come to you now and we humble ourselves before you and we turn to look at you, we ask to heal our land, preserve just the things of this world we need, like property. Lord, thank you for preserving their lives. But Lord, please bring your a rain and make it fall on us all. We're ready. We're your healing cleansing rain. And Lord, there's many other needs that were shared and praises of family time, family being here. Lord, needs for other medical things, for physical therapy coming up to speed healing. Lord, we just ask you be the God over all these things as you are the God over this church. And together we say, Amen.
Good morning again. God is definitely good to us, and so we are grateful for his loving kindness and for his grace and his mercy and his love. So we've been doing this series on the spiritual disciplines. Today is stewardship. So again, remember we tried to make them all S's so we could get them into our minds, that spiritual disciplines help us grow and mature in Christ. And so today's topic is stewardship. Now, when I say the word stewardship, and you hear that word, what comes to mind? See, first person, money. It's usually finances, isn't it? Why do you think that is? Why do we think money, first and foremost? Yeah, it's in the Bible. Yep, it's there. And I think also, additionally, outside of money, when we think of stewardship, if you have been a manager or a supervisor or a lead worker anywhere, you probably think of your responsibility as that manager, the person in charge. You are actually, you know, being a steward over the rest of the employees, right? You're managing the work, you're making sure everything's getting done. So I get that because I've been a lead worker. And you're definitely not the only one who thinks of money, first of all, because most people think that. And for many believers, finances or money might be the first thing when we think about stewardship, because we also think of tithing, right? It's biblical to actually prioritize our finances. But that is definitely not the limit to stewardship. We're going to dive in to what stewardship also looks like, because it includes our relationships, our gifts, and our talents. Again, like if you're the manager or supervisor, it also means leveraging the skills of the individual staff members, right? So again, that's another type of relationship. The dictionary defines stewardship as this: the conducting, supervising, or managing of something. The careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. So we see the definition of stewardship is not limited to money, but it extends to goods and to people. And there's a ton of references in the Bible to what good stewardship looks like. But before we go there, I want us to understand the crux of the matter. Stewardship also means caring for something that does not belong to you. And that's what the definition says, right? We take care of that item that has been put into our hands, that has been entrusted to us. We don't necessarily own it, but it has been entrusted to us. And the item that is put into our care, or as the definition says, entrusted to us, we ultimately do not own it. And this truth is crucial in practicing the spiritual discipline of stewardship. Why is that? Because everything, all capital letters, everything we have belongs to God. This is why this is such a huge idea for us to be able to understand. We are God's stewards. So biblical stewardship is one of the primary ways that God calls us to live our life. again, based on that definition, everything we have, it belongs to God. It's really not our own. And I know we're good at calling stuff our own. We do it all the time. All the time. Nothing wrong with that. But just remember, deep down, it's really not yours. It's God's. So now let's look at the Bible verse. The verse we're going to focus on today sums up that truth. It's found in the book of Psalms, chapter 24. It's the first verse. It says simply this: "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him." Amen to the word of God. So, this is for the parents out there. I'm a parent. Granted, my kids are grown, but still, I'm still a parent. How many times have you reminded your children that everything in the house you bought and paid for, so it all belongs to you and to not your children? I've had those conversations with my kids. And it might have been a particular context. So what was that context? Was it a broken item, a mistreated furniture, or household equipment? Or maybe, just maybe, Brother Ivan, they slammed the bedroom door after they huffed off. And that's when you had to invite them to remind them that their room or their car or whatever the object might be is actually yours, the parent, because I paid for everything in this house. So that room you're calling yours actually belongs to mama, you know, belong to you. And so, you know, we've had to remind our kids of those things, right? And I've said this before, so check this out. This is why I think God gives us kids. This is why he does it. So that we understand our role to God and his loving relationship with us. We're just like our kids, walking around talking about, this is my stuff, and then it. And you have to gently remind your child, I'm sorry, what now? Who does that belong to? God does the same thing with us. We're walking around talking, we bought this house, we bought this car, and this my job, and my. And God is saying, I'm sorry, whose car is that? Because it's my car when I want to drive around and do my thing. But when somebody needs a ride to church, or somebody needs help getting to the store, or to a doctor appointment, all of a sudden, you know, your car is not available. And God is saying, I'm sorry, tell me again why I gave you that beautiful car that works and runs well. Oh. Okay, I'm going to stop talking about that. We're not going to talk about that anymore. Just saying, this is why God gives us kids. So we can understand, better understand who God is and what he expects from us. So, just like we remind our children and they think they actually own things, God wants to remind us. Sometimes he's got to sit us down and say, you know, you don't own everything. Actually, you don't own anything. It all belongs to me. So what I'm doing is giving you stewardship over this XYZ items, list them all out for your life, for his glory. Not for our own. So I want to encourage us to keep this truth in the forefront of our minds so that the principle will lead us to dedicate every aspect of our life to God. So now let's look at a few examples of stewardship in the scriptures. There's a couple of areas that I like to highlight. Stewardship over ourselves, over our possessions, our talents and our gifts, and time. So, first up is stewardship of ourselves, our bodies. So listen to the word of God. This is the King James Version that I'm actually reading from. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says this: "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." So Paul teaches us here that our physical bodies actually belong to God. And so we are essentially God's dwelling place. So again, my, it's my body. I can do what I want. Think again. Because we should be using our bodies for God's glory. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13 says this, "Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." So here in that particular verse, Paul is arguing our bodies should not be used for sins of the flesh, and namely, specifically there, sexual sins. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27 says this, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." And then Galatians 5, 22 says this, where we find the fruit of the Spirit, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires." So both of the latter scriptures show us that we need to have self-control in order to rightly practice stewardship of our physical bodies. So we have to get our minds right so that we can correctly take care of our physical bodies. And why do we want to do that? Because God owns our bodies. He owns our spirit. And this is why we want to be good stewards of our bodies. So now let's move to the stewardship of our possessions. Again, think of your kids, think of yourself. It's my house, okay? I have to pay the taxes and the rent on it, okay, somebody? I'm paying for it, so therefore it's mine. But what does the Bible say about our possessions? We find the concept of stewardship way back in the beginning. Because God's plan for humanity was that we would be caretakers or the stewards of his creation. Remember? Go way back to Genesis. So chapter 1, and I'll begin with verse 27. Just read a few of those verses because it's right there. Again, we can forget about those things because we get caught up in our lives and we focus on trying to be super spiritual in other areas. But God is saying, I need you to be faithful in these small things too. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat." And then he says, so we see that God placed Adam and Eve to care for everything and on earth. So it's the sea, it's creatures, the birds representing the sky and the air, and all the living creatures on the land, right? In addition to the plant kingdom, because he talks about the trees, all of those things that bear seeds. Now, there might be somebody out there who's thinking, oh, here she goes. She's going to be one of them, give one of those tree-hugging statements about how we should be loving to the, yeah, no, I'm not going to ask you or invite you, Sister Susie, to go hug a tree. I'm not that person. But I am going to challenge you, however, that we need to be thinking about how we care for the very land on which we live. Because way back in the beginning, that was God's intention. He didn't say, I'm giving you this planet to kill it and destroy it. He actually tells them that they are to actually take care of it. They are to tend to it. So
that's our job.
That job has not stopped just because time has marched on. He's actually expecting us to take care of those things. And so, no, you don't have to be a marine biologist or a zoologist, a climatologist, all those ologies. No. If you are a follower of Christ, handle whatever you have. Whatever's around you, take care of it. Why? Because you are a steward of it. Everything that's around you is given to you to be a steward. That's the point. And so you don't have to get off into arguing, is climatology a thing, and do we need to be worried about climate change? You don't need to get in an argument. Just look at the planet around you and take care of it. Do better. When you know better, you should do better. So, maybe for you, it's learning how to recycle. Take less trips in your precious car, since it's your car. Volunteering in your neighborhood or doing the coastal cleanups. Anything, those small things.
So don't stand by and say it's another person's responsibility. You can build this muscle of stewardship and make changes in small ways. So not only has the earth been loaned to us, but God has also given us our families. And many of us, that's who we lifted up in prayer, was our families and our friends, right? God has given us our families and our communities. So we, in those areas, in those relationships, need to be good stewards. And this is why it's important to treat others as God would have us treat them. We care for others because each healthy community member builds a healthy community. I'll say that again. Each healthy community member builds a healthy community. So this is why we need to be really conscious of how we are building relationships with people and supporting one another in love. Because as we grow healthier with each other, that means our extended family and our larger community will be healthy. Why? Because we're all caring for each other. Listen to what Exodus 22 has to say. This, again, this is way back in the Old Testament. Nothing brand new, not a new concept. Very ancient. Exodus 22, verses 21 and 22 says this: Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. Deuteronomy 27 says this: God curses people who withhold justice from the alien, the fatherless, or widows. The word of God should motivate us to seek social justice. Why, Teresa? Why do you say that? Because he created us all in his image, not just some of us. He didn't create the believers in his image. If you go back to Genesis, every single human being is created in God's image. So even those people you don't like, even those people who are mean to you, guess what? They're created in God's image. So as good stewards, we need to take care of that foreigner who's in our land. We need to take care of the widows. Those are the people who, without family, right? Because biblical times, this is why it's important when scripture refers to the widow, because the women depended upon the men in their lives. They depended on their father when you were younger. And once you got married, you depended on your husband. It wasn't women who went out and did business and stuff. It was for the men to do that. They were to provide for the families and take care of the women and the children. So Jesus is simply saying to us, and God was saying it back then, don't forget about those people who don't have. Stop saying, oh, that's too bad. Poor Sister Susie, oh, poor Sister Linda, they're on their own. But no, you have community people. You're supposed to go and take care of them. You don't just get to go, oh, that's a shame. Yeah, it is a shame. So what are we going to do about it? That's our job. That's what it means to be a good steward. So we take care of the widows. We take care of the foreigners in our land. And this is why we really need to care about the people crossing the border. We can't just be like, oh, that's unfortunate. That's too bad. What's happening? Are you praying about it? Are you getting educated about it? Because oftentimes we're going to be called upon to vote on it and give some type of influence. So don't just be a bystander going, be a good steward. Do our part. Take care of the aliens. Take care of those widows and take care of those orphans. Because once again, how do kids raise themselves? They don't. They don't. They may survive to adulthood, but it ain't pretty. Right? Again, this is why God gives us community. Take care of those who are less fortunate, who do not have opportunity. This is why he gives us all of the things that we have, because he wants us to share it with others and acknowledge that they are created in God's image. And we honor that in them.
So now let's move to our talents and our gifts. We can use last week's scripture in 1 Peter 4:10. It reads this, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And this one, we don't need to go into a detail, right? Because we talked about it. But be reminded that whatever your gifts and talents are that God gave you, he's expecting you to use them for his glory. And that means exercising them within our Christian community as well as the world. The Apostle Paul mentions in Colossians 3, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. So Paul is reminding us that there, right there in that scripture, that we need to be faithful stewards to God and not focus on the humans, right? Because ultimately, we're serving God. And I know when I go to work, I work for my little God. When I show up at work, I'm reporting for my boss. So I may physically think, oh, my manager, you know, is going to hold me accountable. But see beyond your immediate boss. See beyond your immediate supervisor or your lead worker. Because it really standing behind them is God himself.
go to chapter 5 of Ephesians, we'll hear this. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools.
Part of reality really is true. Time is winding up. And Jesus is on his way back. So what are we going to do about it with the time that we have left, Sister? What are we doing?
So here's the challenge for us. Now that we've learned another spiritual discipline,
we have divine responsibility to be faithful stewards. So I challenge each of us to take an assessment of our stewardship level in all the areas that we talked about today, but even other areas that we didn't talk about. But specifically, how am I taking care of my body? Like I said, I may not be running anytime soon, but Sister Judy, that does not prevent me from walking, right? So do that in. Let us go carrying the words of that song in our hearts this week. May you be blessed. God keep you in peace until we meet again. Go in God's grace.
Amen.